X's and Bros here on the Michigan Sports Network is brought to you today by TwinSpires Online Sportsbook Racing and Casino. Download the TwinSpire Sportsbook app today, and new users can enjoy 7 days of risk-free betting up to $1,000 using the promo code FREE1000. Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Halen, Ryan Elke, the Motor City Studio. Anthony Bellito coming in for the Radio Bunker, joining us on the horn right now. A very special guest calling us all the way from across the Pacific Ocean, located in Japan. Actually went to school at Ferris State University. He is one of only seven alums to play for a national team as he plays for Team Japan as well. My good buddy, Simone Denis. Simone, my man! Good evening to you. It's bright and early here in the morning, but how are you, man? Long time no talk. How you been? How are things? How's life?
Bellino, I am doing absolutely fantastic. And yeah, it's 7:30 p.m. here. It's a little bit different than you. We just watched the sunset here about an hour ago. And just the wife and I are doing a road trip across Japan. So we are currently it's an area called Fukushima. It's an area that was pretty famous for that big tsunami earthquake that hit in 2011. But we're actually camping in the back of our van, and we are currently staring out at the lake, and life is good.
So you're trying to have, basically what you're telling me is you have like a charcuterie board in the back of your vehicle as you and your wife are going on this journey, and here I am interrupting you in all of this. Oh, I don't even know her. She's got to hate me already.
That's, you know what? You're absolutely accurate, but I'll let it go. I think she'll let it go as well. Considering you're up at the bright and dawn at 6:30 a.m. there, so I'm not going to complain too much.
You're watching the sunset. We're watching it come up, and that's wild. How's hockey over there, man? I've been so anxious and interested to know what it's like playing overseas and being able to play in that league, because a lot of times we hear about guys going overseas, we immediately think Europe, if they're joining like Cody Lampel and going to the DEL, or if they're joining your buddy Jeff Lurg and going to France, and it's like, okay, well, hey, here's a guy who's going to Japan. Like, oh, really? What's hockey life like over there?
Yeah, it's different, It's something, like you said, majority of people automatically assume that you're going to Europe or one of those countries, whether it's France, Sweden, Germany. And to come to Asia, it's very different. The hockey market is small. Japan professional sports is very dominated by baseball and soccer. So as far as hockey goes, fandom isn't the biggest thing by any means, but the talent level is definitely there. It was an adjustment. Honestly, I'd say it almost took me about two seasons to kind of fully figure out the game out here. And the guys are very talented. There's a lot of guys with unbelievable hands and good shots, great skaters, but lacks in physicality, which is actually nice considering, the body, especially what you go through in the ECHL and the AHL back home. And to come out here, it's definitely easier on the body. We play this season, because of COVID, we actually played 22 games. But it's much, much different. But overall, it's been an amazing experience so far.
Simone, are you on like a work visa over there, or are you a full-blown Japanese citizen at this point?
I am a full-blown Japanese citizen. I've actually had my citizenship since I was born. So I've been dual Canadian Japanese my whole life.
Oh, perfect. So that works out great then, right? And any issue on language barrier? Is this something that that was like spoke in the house and that you've been familiar with?
Yeah, that's definitely been the biggest adjustment. I can understand a good amount of Japanese. I can speak a little. I've definitely been working on it. Last year, actually, my wife and I did Japanese school out here, but this year with COVID, all the in-person classes and whatnot were canceled. So we're trying. I'm putting out my best effort, but it's definitely difficult. We have probably four guys who can speak fluent English. But after that, you have a few guys that can, speak here and there. And then you have some guys who can just kind of put together the very, very simple words. So it can be tough. We don't have a team translator. I'm actually the only person who on our team, because of COVID, we didn't have imports this year. So because of that, I'm the only player who basically can't figure out what I'm doing. but I understand enough to be able to get by. So it can be tough at times, but I don't know, with hockey, you kind of it's almost a universal language. A lot of the things are very simple with the ice and whatnot, so you can make it work. And yeah, it's, I do my best.
Has that ever gotten discouraging for you and your wife at any point when you've been over there, just because of, you know, it's something that we take for granted here. We actually had this conversation a couple weeks ago in regards to Major League Baseball and guys who might come from Latin America that just either aren't comfortable enough speaking English in press conferences or don't want to learn it. Now, I'm on the side of the fence that if you don't want to learn it, I'm not forcing you to. Nobody's making you learn English. And if you have a team translator, if you don't want to speak English, don't worry about it. Speak Spanish and then we'll figure it out from there. Like, I don't have a single problem with that. But has it ever been discouraging for you as you took your hockey career to Japan to hit that language barrier and be trying your hardest, but to get frustrated and then, you know, start questioning yourself, like, what am I doing over here?
You know, honestly, sometimes you think about it. Sometimes I think the biggest thing is it gets lonely sometimes, because the area where we're at, we're very far north in the country. So there's very, very little English spoken in our area. Majority of restaurants, everything like that, won't speak English. So it can get lonely at times, you know, even maybe in the locker room where, you know, you're listening to five guys have a conversation. You're just kind of sitting there and you're like, I can pick up on bits and pieces, but I don't really know what's going on. So it's kind of like sometimes you kind of just sit there and put your headphones on and listen to music and you're like, all right, well, just going to hang out today. Like it can get tough that way. But I think for me, it's kind of been, you know, somewhat motivation as well to force myself to learn the language better. Just that way, it kind of makes me want to learn it more. And I think the most difficult thing is when I do go for Team Japan, because, you know, there's all the coaching staff is Japanese, all the management staff's Japanese, all the playbook, video sessions, everything is done entirely in Japanese. So that is when it gets the most challenging for me. But, you know, I mean, it's like you said, if guys don't want to put out the effort, there's not much you can do. I've kind of noticed the same way with watching baseball and stuff. I watch the Angels quite a bit just because I'm a big Shohei Ohtani fan. And, I mean, his English is getting a little better, but you still, 24/7, he's got the translator following him around. And, I mean, that makes it much easier for them. And, you know, after being out here, you kind of learn that, like, a lot of people, I feel like, in North America kind of always think like, oh, well, like, why can't you speak English? Like, why don't you know English? But until you're living somewhere else where, like, it's not the dominant language, they easily can do the same to me. Like, hey, why don't you speak Japanese? Like, so I kind of see in both sides of it now, and I'm definitely learning to understand it better. But it's, yeah, it can definitely get lonely and discouraging at times.
Hey, you know, as Simone Denny joining us right now, Ferris State alumni playing his pro hockey, took his career to Japan. And Simone, that's one of the things that I really try to emphasize when you're here in the States. And if you are around people that might be speaking, I always use Spanish just because it's very common here in the States. And if two Spanish speakers run into each other at a grocery store, don't be offended. If they speak Spanish in front of you, that's their native tongue. And if they struggle a little bit in English, at least they're trying. Be patient with them. You know what I'm saying? I try to preach that all the time because it's difficult, and it is a very North American way of looking at things, saying, well, why don't you speak English? Well, I'm, you know, it's like Cody Lample in Germany right now. His daughters speak better German than he does because they're in school and that's what they're learning, and they'll grow up bilingual, and it'll be a great advantage for them to be able to start their lives and their careers because they'll have this advantage of being able to speak another language. I think it's fascinating, man. I don't know how you guys do it sometimes, because I think the loneliness factor would definitely set in. Simone, when you talk about the physicality was something I was going to bring up, so I'm glad you kind of knocked that one out, because here in the Western Hemisphere, it feels like in North America, we play a very physical brand of hockey. But if you go to Sweden, you go to Finland, you go to Germany, things really, you know, the Europeans, I mean, just like in basketball, they don't develop physical post players, right? They're all finesse kind of guys. Mm-hmm. And feels like it's the same way in hockey. But how do you compare the league that you are playing in right now to your days of playing either in the AHL or the ECHL here, outside of the physicality, from a skill standpoint, maybe some similarities, maybe some differences?
Yeah, it's honestly that the physicality is by far the biggest difference. It's funny, you know, in this whole season, I can probably count on one hand the number of times that I actually got hit, and maybe got hit to the point of being knocked over maybe once. I don't even know if it happened once, but it's just because it is such a skill game, and that's how guys are brought up. It's not, you're not really taught to hit and fight and stuff. Like, fighting in our league is actually suspension. Like, if you drop your gloves and try to fight, it's an automatic one-game suspension. So it's kind of funny. You sometimes, like, I've seen some guys throw punches with their gloves on. I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, this, you know, if you did that back home, you'd just be ridiculed. But here they know that, like, if you drop them, you're suspended. So it's drastically different from that side of things. And some guys get away with some things that you wouldn't see guys get away with back home, where, you know, whether guys, you know, one of the older guys would automatically challenge them to a fight and stuff. You don't see that here because guys can't risk being suspended and whatnot. But otherwise, you know, I think compared to at least the ECHL levels, there's a lot of guys out here skill-wise that are very comparable, and some guys that are even more skilled. But it's the tough part for hockey in Japan and Asia in general is a lot of kids don't grow up watching the NHL and whatnot, so you don't really learn the game style. So a lot of, I find the biggest difference is like the thinking capacity of players, of knowing where to go without the puck and knowing positioning and things like that, that they just don't really learn growing up. They're all kind of just taught and watch YouTube videos of, oh, McDavid just went end to end in toe drags. So guys here are amazing at toe drags, but when it comes to actual situational play or positional play, sometimes guys get lost, and that part is difficult and can get frustrating at times, but it's I've kind of adjusted to it over the past couple of years.
Simone Denny joining us right now. Ferris State alum, plays his professional hockey across the pond, the other pond in the Pacific there in Japan. Simone, there's been a lot of talk about this Super League, right, over in Europe, where some of the top European soccer clubs are trying to bounce out and create their own Super League. And that has brought up the conversation a lot here in America about what the European clubs use in soccer, which is relegation. Now, I saw a son of Igor Larionov II, talking about the relegation principle from NHL to AHL, AHL to ECHL. And I thought, well, it's different because we have a feeder system. Like, our minor leagues are just set up differently. It's not like the AHL is a completely separate league from the NHL because you have guys under contract with NHL teams. But, you know, you had people debating back and forth on the internet. So I wanted to ask this to you. Do you think, in the case of relegation, if that was even something that would be possible, could an AHL team be able to swing it at an NHL club for an entire season? Do you think they'd be able to play at that level?
No, I don't. I think, like you said, with Europe, you know, you have these guys that are all, you know, it's with the relegation, you've got, you know, say the EPL, and then you've got like the second league there. But then you see, you know, the first time, I guess, in history, when Leicester City did it, however many years ago, like, that was, you know, that was considered a miracle, really. And, you know, there's many, many AHL players that should be in the NHL and that can be quality players. And there's many players in the ECHL that should be in the AHL. But when you get a full team dynamic of going, you know, take the Buffalo Sabres, like, they're, you know, they're not good. But I think if you were to put them against an AHL team, I still think they would beat them pretty good. And let alone over an 82-game season, I don't think, you might sneak out a few wins, but I don't think the odds are in the favor of having a lower team like that move into a full-blown league like the NHL.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, well, you know, you got to ask somebody out there in hockey, but I always talk about the one thing when watching hockey, buy a ticket and sit as close to the ice as you possibly can, just so you can pick up on the speed of the game, because it's exhausting to watch when you're sitting close to it, especially you get up to that level and it's just like dudes are flying around at a billion miles an hour. You mentioned the Buffalo Sabres. Do you get to watch a lot of NHL puck over there? Are there games on? Is it accessible for you?
Yeah, so we purchased the NHL the NHL package, the app kind of thing. So we have full access to it. So games, East Coast games generally start at 8 a.m. our time out here. And then you get the West Coast, the later ones generally start at 11 a.m. So usually by the time I get home from the rink, I get home around noon. I'm able to turn on the West Coast ones. Luckily, actually, you know, former Walleye defenseman Jacob McDonald has been up with the Colorado Avalanche for almost this whole season. And he's a really close friend of mine, and we've actually been able to watch almost all of every single one of the games he's played. And I think he's played now, I think he's in like the mid 20s. So it's been awesome to be able to see it still. And it's nice because, you know, as opposed to you guys, like, oh, the game's on late. Like, by the time it's over, it's 11 o'clock at night. I got to go to bed. For us, by the time the game's over, we're just getting our day started. We're eating lunch, watching the game. So it's actually been nice from that standpoint. The weekend games are hard because a lot of the times when NBC Sports or something has a game on at like 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock, that's, you know, that's 2 a.m. my time. So we're definitely missing those games, but we watch, I mean, at least for me, I kind of force my wife into it. Luckily she enjoys sports, but we watch a ton of the NBA. And now that baseball season's going, I've been watching that. I was all about the NFL when that was rolling, and we definitely make it work, but it's a lot more watching highlights than it is full games.
Yeah, I mean, the scheduling, dude. I mean, we got these West Coast start times are terrible. Pistons go on the road, Red Wings go on the road. They got to tip off or drop the puck at 10 o'clock. I can't stay up for this. You guys, yeah, they're trying to kill me, Simone. That's what they're trying to do. How is married life as a professional player overseas? Obviously, that's a big step for anybody in their personal lives. But then you're like, hey, yeah, by the way, I play pro hockey in Japan. So you trying to pack your bags and come over here too? Like, how's that been?
Yeah, it you know what, it's been really good. We started dating my second season in Toledo there. And so when I got called up to Hartford, it worked really well because she was living in Boston at the time. So when I left to South Korea, that was a tough one. We did long distance for that year. But when we made the move to Japan, she came with, and luckily she's been with me for these past 2 years, and it's been incredible. You know, we went from, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend to in this process to a fiance to husband and wife, and it's been incredible. I couldn't do it without her, that's for sure. She's sitting next to me, so I have to make sure I say only good things. But
oh yeah, there you go. See, I could baby, I couldn't do it without you. I love you so much. She's the light of my life. Yeah. Look at you getting all the brownie points over there right now.
Exactly. But no, for real, it's been incredible, and to have that rock and have that support system beside you, and having someone at every game to be able to talk about. And, you know, she was a college athlete as well at Merrimack University out on the East Coast. So she understands sports. Her father is a college wrestling coach. So their whole family's big into sports. They've grown up with it. So luckily I have people that I can communicate with and talk sports with. So it's, you know, we really couldn't ask for better. And this summer we're staying out here in Japan, and now, you know, we're doing this road trip together. So we're getting some incredible life experience that a lot of people don't get to have. And, you know, I couldn't ask for better.
That's awesome. Simone Denny, ladies and gentlemen, find him on Twitter at SKDenny26. Simone, my friend, thank you so much for taking the time out of your journey across the country of Japan. Enjoy Fukushima. And what's the next destination?
We'll go to Mount Fuji early next week, and we're going to go to around the Tokyo area within the next couple days. So
that's fantastic, man. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to join us. It was great to catch up. Great to hear your voice, and nothing but continued success and happiness out there for you, man.
Hey, I appreciate that greatly. Always great to talk to you too. And definitely look forward to the day we get to meet again.
Amen, brother. Amen. Take care, man.
You as well.
There he goes, Simone Denny, Ferris State alum, playing pro hockey across the pond. I mean, it's one thing to try to date a girl and try to ask her to marry her. It's another thing to explain to her parents, yeah, now you want to move her to Japan with you. That's risky. We'll step aside. Hour number two of X's and Bros coming up next here on the Michigan Sports Network.
Bet on more than just the final score with One Game Parlay at BetMGM. One Game Parlay is an exciting feature designed to help you make selections within a single game from over 400 bet types, including team and player props. Hi, this is Matt Shepard. Log into your BetMGM account. Create the parlay of your dreams before the game even starts. One Game Parlay is the fast and easy way to make your same game win, total, and prop picks. New to BetMGM? Well, sign up today and be on the edge of your seat the entire game. You can make One Game Parlay bets on upcoming MLS and NBA games, with more sports coming soon. Go ahead and take your favorite player to score, the home team to cover, and the over in points for the star power forward. Log in today or download the BetMGM app or try One Game Parlay. Turn game time into showtime at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Must be 21 years or older. Michigan only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons.
COVID-19 vaccinations are available daily at your local Meijer, now for anyone 16 or older. Text COVID to 75049 to register for your free vaccinations at Meijer and get updates to your phone. Please complete only one registration at one location. Additional entries will replace your previous registration and may increase your wait time. You can also talk to your Meijer pharmacist or visit clinic.meijer.com for more information. Remember, text COVID to 75049 to get started.
Your neighborhood Auto Value Auto Parts store, where service is the difference. We get it. Save this month on Philips Crystal Vision headlight bulbs, starting at just $29.99. Trico Force wiper blades start at just $14.99. And True Fuel pre-mixed two-stroke engine fuels, just $5.49. Shop online at myautovaluestore.com and save 15% on orders of $75 or more with the coupon code SPRING15. That's Auto Value, where service is the difference. We get it.
Bill Simonson here for my good friend John Cornack. Now, he heads up the Eisenhower Center, America's leader when it comes to traumatic brain injury rehabilitation. Now, they've partnered with Selfridge Air Force Base on the east side of the state in Harrison Township, just north of the Detroit metro area. And they do have a Veterans Rehabilitation Center at Selfridge Air Force Base, and they're looking to expand it. So they're going to need philanthropists listening right now across the state who can step up and help our veterans get back to living the lives they deserve to lead. So what you can do, if you have the means to step up and help the Veterans Rehabilitation Center at Selfridge Air Force Base, which is part of the Eisenhower Center program, just go to eisenhowercenter.com. And then you'll find a way to get a message to John Cornack, who heads up the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor.